May I begin by asking you to tell me about your experience in the Peace Corps?
I was a Peace Corps volunteer in West Africa from 2000 till 2002 in Ivory Coast. And I was a rural HIV educator, so I lived in a village of about 700 people for 2.5 years. At that time, the estimate was 1 in 4 was infected with HIV. So I learned a local language called Waradooku. At that point, I was teaching the people in my region how to use condoms.
I gather the experience led to the first novel, White Man?
That was based on my experience, and the title White Man is what I was called over there, which is Tubab, which is a Malinke word for white or foreigner. Those experiences in that novel are essentially what happened to me. While I was there, there was a lot of political violence between the north and the south of the country, and I was working in the north. In September of 2002, the country began what would be a 10-year civil war. And I was in the village when the war started, and I had to walk across the war zone, and that included about 10 days hiding with some other Peace Corps volunteers in a house in a small town while the fighting was going on, and then we paid some bribes and had to get a driver to sort of take us up to the war front, and then we had to walk across it.
My goodness, that must have been quite scary.
Yeah, it was really scary. I was back for the first time in 10 years just this past fall. I spent 6 weeks there. I had been very close to many people there. I hadn't had any information about what was going on up there for 10 years. Because of the Civil War and the way infrastructure was cut, government services came to an end, the postal service came to an end for a long time.
You have a facility for language, yes, and for journalism. That's part of your writing skill. Tell me about the development of your second novel, The Concans.
And that's based on my family's history. My mother was in the Peace Corps, too. She served in India, and she met my father there, he was Indian. But he came from a very small community of Indians who are Catholic and have Portuguese names. My last name is Portuguese, even though they're genetically Indian. So they were converted by the Portuguese, who had a colony on the western coast of India called Goa. My father's native language was Konkani. That's the name of the language. And my novel is about my father's family, the history of Portuguese colonization in India, and my grandfather's collaboration with the British during the colonial period. He was a police officer. I like the book. There's a lot of violence and political intrigue, sandalwood smuggling, things like that.
You are building a career with the novels and with fellowships like crazy, and you publish in national magazines, and you are spoken with on national television. You talked with a fellow at WNYC about how your well-connected, well-publicized career was affected by the national economy crashing in 2008. I heard you talking about how the foundation for the life of your lead character in your third novel, The Mule, experience the same kind of cutoff.
Yeah, I mean, my novels are mostly autobiographical. I'm not going to say that about Mule since it involves so much crime. My main character, James, in that book and myself shared the common experience of being freelance writers when the recession hit. In my personal experience as a freelance writer, that was a very difficult time. I had an infant. And I had a new baby coming, and I'd always been careful with money because if you want to be a writer, unless you become very successful, it's, you know, money's always an issue. Then the recession hit, and 2009, I just could not get any work from anyone. It wasn't because of the quality of my writing or anything like that. It was just simply because nobody could. Magazines were laying off their staff writers, so it was a scary time. It was a time of really wondering what was going to happen to me and to my family. And it led to writing Mule, which is about a guy who goes through a similar experience, and he temporarily solves his problem by turning to crime, becoming a drug mule.
The book is very intimately researched, it seems to me. I mean, I didn't know any of the terms at all that roll out in the practice of drug running. I understand this book has been optioned for film, and I wonder if the sensational parts of it will drive it, or whether the whole undercurrent of fear and of fear about his marriage will survive it, a film that is.
Yeah, I have no idea. It was optioned by Todd Phillips at Warner Brothers. He's the director of The Hangover, big, funny blockbusters. I mean, there's humor in Mule, but it's not really funny. So I really don't know what he would do with it. I'm really at a distance from it. Some people tell me that he's looking to do more serious stuff. So if it happens, I'd be happy in any way, shape, or form.
What are you working on now?
Well, I've been doing a lot of magazine work over the last couple of years, and I got involved in two major, for me, investigations for magazine pieces that were sort of like writing books because there was so much research involved in them, and they took me over. So right now I'm working on fiction, writing a new novel. I'm not far enough along in anything to start talking about it.
What would you tell the MFA students? What will you tell them about being a writer? What drives you? What's your passion about it?
You cannot know, you know, what kind of writer you are, I think, at any point in your career. You know, writers should say yes to different things. A lot of times you'll hear people say, I don't write poetry, or you hear poets say, I don't write fiction, I don't write nonfiction. Or you'll hear a fiction writer say, I only write fiction, I don't write nonfiction. And I felt that way at one time, but I guess I started writing younger. I didn't realize how long I would be writing for, you know, and I'm going into 15, 20 years of writing here, and I'm really grateful that I write in multiple genres. I write fiction and nonfiction. I'll write an occasional poem. I'll write an essay and travelogue, and it gives me so many more opportunities to say something and to be productive on the page. And I mean, on the other hand, you could say that I get really distracted. Yeah, I haven't written a novel in a few years, and maybe if I didn't write nonfiction, I would have. But I'm not gonna say that. I've enjoyed the journey. Basically, I'll write anything. I've said yes to anything. I'll write anything.
Have you always had the skill of precision?
No, not at all. That's a good question, because that was something really took me a long time to learn. And I wonder, for a writer, you know, we're all trying to find our voice, that when we put down words on a page, that whatever rhythm or way of using words that's particular to us, and that another writer can recognize and say, oh, that's so-and-so's writing, even if the name's not on it. I think that's a goal. And to retool your writing style once you get there and change, it doesn't really happen. So, I mean, everyone's in a sort of mad rush to find their voice, but they don't realize that once you find it, that's it. I had an editor on my third book who really cut me down as far as sentences go, and she really showed me how to be more precise in the sentence, how to be more efficient and economical. And at first I was hesitant because I felt that, well, it's so hard. You know, writing a novel is hard. You have to fill 300 or plus pages with stuff that's, you know, interesting stuff that's happening, and you do that through sentences. So you want to chop sentences by a third, which is what she was doing. Oh my God, it's so much harder to write a novel suddenly. You can't fill it with fluff. What she showed me was there's a real beauty, a beauty I hadn't found within the sentence and within the paragraph when it becomes even more efficient, at least for me. And I've been writing like that for the past 4 or 5 years, just extremely, extremely efficient, lean lines without any fluff. And I was always something of a minimalist, but she really helped me retool, so I guess that answer is about precision and learning something new. It's also about the collaborative process of writing. I mean, writing's not really a team sport, but if you're in the enviable position of someday having an editor, you know, not all editors are the same. This one was amazing. I never had an editor like her, and I'd probably had 30 editors before her.
It sounds like a great experience. What will you be reading here in Murray for the series?
I'll be reading a new piece of nonfiction that I wrote when I was in West Africa this fall, and it deals with returning to the village after 10 years away and having no contact, and it's sort of a recounting of all the friends that I had had who had died in the time that I had been away, and it was a really overwhelming experience because I had been so looking forward to seeing some people, especially my girlfriend at that time, you know, a village girl there who had also died, and to not know any, you know, really any of the details of what happened to her. So I've written a piece about that. I'll be reading that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with me this morning, and we're glad you're coming.
All right. Thanks. I'm looking forward to it.